fifth leader who opposed legal marijuana. His opponent, Tom Tancredo, supports legal marijuana. But Tancredo goes even further. Tancredo says we should consider legalizing all drugs. Yes, drugs like heroin, PCP, and cocaine. Colorado Republicans have a clear choice for governor. Conservative Republican leader Mike Kopp or Tom Tancredo, who won't stop at just legalizing marijuana. Mike Kopp is fighting to keep drugs away from all of Colorado's children. Mike Kopp for governor. Paid for by Make Colorado Great Again and not authorized by or coordinated with any candidate. Chris Marston, registered agent.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Sam here at the network. And you know, we have a worldview. These are the things we know. We've taught them in school. We've seen them on television. They are part and parcel of the very makeup of the individual. And is it possible that most of what you know or you think you know isn't true? Is it possible that there is a control over the media and over the educational process and over what we hear at every and see at every turn that has shaped a worldview that isn't true? Well, with us this morning is Dr. Jerome Corsi. He has his PhD from Harvard. He certainly is a prolific writer. We carry a number of his books. We've interviewed him many times. And we wanted to talk to him this morning about his book, Hunting Hitler. Because, of course, there have been several books recently written by people who've actually looked into the background of the story of Adolf Hitler dying in a bunker and realized it isn't true. And certainly several of these people have actually either gone to South America or talked to people from South America or sent people to South America to track down people who knew Adolf Hitler, who worked with Adolf Hitler until he died in 1965. Dr. Corsi, what got you interested in this story of Hitler?
Well, Dr. Stan, I started this when there was a scientist in Connecticut, one of the archaeologists in Connecticut, who was given the chance to go and look at the Hitler skull in Moscow. And he had a chance to actually go to the Moscow Museum where they've held the skull. And when he got there, in fact, there was a History Channel special on it called Hitler's Escape. And Dr. Bellatoni from he was from the University of Connecticut Center for Applied Genetics and Technology. He worked with the archaeologist for the state of Connecticut. He took samples from the Hitler skull that the Russians have had since the end of World War II, and he found out it was the skull of the he did DNA testing on it. He was able to take some of the actual chips out of the skull and bring them back to Connecticut. And the DNA testing, you know, using full forensic procedures, avoiding contamination, doing it with scientific rigor, showed the skull belonged to a 40-year-old woman whose identity was unknown. And so that was pretty earth-shaking, because here this was supposed to be the definitive evidence that Hitler had died. And it turns out to, with DNA testing, have been a lie that the Russians, since the end of World War II, maintaining this was Hitler's skull, really had just picked up a skull from some woman in Berlin at the end of the war and said this is the Hitler skull. And, of course, in 1945, there was no DNA testing, and they got away with it.
Well, then, certainly now the question is raised, you know, then what did happen if Hitler didn't die, or was this just a mistake? So what was the next step, then, in your analysis of this story of Hunting Hitler?
Well, it started, then I started really getting into the research on it, because I had remembered that the conventional story was that Hitler died in the bunker. He committed suicide in the Hitler bunker in Berlin, at the end of World War II in April 1945, as the Russian army was advancing. The story is that Hitler and Eva Braun, his mistress, in the bunker, committed suicide, both of them, either by shooting themselves or with cyanide capsules. That the Nazis took their bodies out into the garden of the Fuhrer bunker and put them in this shallow grave, put gasoline all over them, and tried to cremate the bodies. And the Russians supposedly found these charred corpses. And this was the proof the Russians had that Hitler had died. Now, as I got into it, I realized that there were a lot of discrepancies with the whole story. I mean, first of all, the Russians had a film, propaganda film, that they did in May 1945, Soviet Army propaganda film, showing Hitler as, you know, a bullet hole in his forehead, lying dead in the garden at the Fuhrer bunker. And that turned out to be a Hitler double. On close analysis, the Soviets had first been fooled by this double. Of course, you have to wonder why the Nazis would put a double in, unless the goal was that Hitler was going to escape and this was just a cover. So that film still exists, but the Russians dropped the story that was Hitler. Then I started getting into the autopsy reports. Since 1945, there's been quite a bit published from Russia about the autopsy that was done on these two bodies. And it turns out that the autopsy information was quite inconsistent, that evidently the Russian special forces found these two bodies and did an autopsy in Germany right at the end of World War II. But, for instance, the autopsy report that we now are able to get on the Eva Braun body shows that she had hematoma in the chest from having been hit by shrapnel. Well, if she had committed suicide by taking cyanide or killing herself, even if she were out in the garden, her corpse, and it was hit by shrapnel, there wouldn't be any bleeding. So evidently that female corpse was a corpse of, you know, a woman who was yet alive when she got hit by shrapnel, which is inconsistent with the Eva Braun suicide story. Also, the dental records, which were supposed to identify these two corpses, it turned out that the Russians had captured the dentists and the dental technicians, that the Russians had complete dental information about Hitler and Eva Braun, and they could easily fabricate the dental bridges and other dental work that had been done and insert it into the corpses in an attempt to claim that the dental records prove that this was Hitler and Eva Braun, when the whole thing could easily have been fabricated.
But then why would they want to fabricate it? Why wouldn't they want to let the truth out that Adolf Hitler had actually escaped?
Well, I think the problem that everyone had at the end of World War II, especially, you know, the Russians, here the Russians had gotten into Berlin, and Hitler, of course, had killed tens of millions of Russians brutally, not only in the war with soldiers being killed, but of the Russian population, including thousands and thousands of Jewish communities that the Nazis just destroyed, killed everyone in Russia in the Holocaust. So I don't think Hitler wanted, I think the Russians wanted justice.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Get back here in just a moment. But yeah, Dr. Jerome Corson.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Hi folks, guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, sir. Dr. Stan, the American Student Network, Dr. Tony, Dr. Jerome Corsi. And of course, Dr. Corsi, then, it was intrigued. Is it possible that we have not been told the truth about Adolf Hitler? Is it possible that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun did not die in the bunker? So then, of course, as you begin looking into it further, what did you find, Dr. Corsi?
Well, as I said, the autopsy reports that the Russians did were inconsistent. The dental records could easily have been fabricated. The Russians had a need at the end of World War II to show the Russian people that there had been justice done to Hitler. And I think if the Russians had to admit to the Russian people that Hitler escaped, it would have been an extremely embarrassing and difficult situation. For Joseph Stalin and for those in control of the government in Russia. Now, Stalin met with, at the Potsdam Conference, which happened right at the end of World War II, Stalin met with Harry Truman and our Secretary of State at the time, Jimmy Burns, and Stalin told Jimmy Burns privately that he believed, even though Russia was saying that they had the corpses of Hitler and Eva Braun, Stalin believed that that Hitler escaped. That was pretty startling to Jimmy Burns. He even put it in his autobiography, this conversation occurred. And what basically Stalin was accusing the United States of is that we helped Hitler escape. That's what Stalin was saying. And I think that that ultimately is the conclusion I'm coming to, that as we get through the interview, I can make the point that I think the evidence is that the United States did help Hitler escape.
And that is really what's so frightening about this whole thing, from my point of view, that certainly there would have been people within our intelligence agencies who helped Hitler escape, and then had such control over the reality of the American people and dissemination of information, that they've been able to conceal it all these years, up until recently when your book and several other books have come out, which have validated that point of view. So basically, what have you actually found out then, about what happened after certainly the bunker?
Well, I mean, let's go through some more of the evidence. I went to the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, and started looking for files. I found the U.S. military intelligence files from November, December 1945, and it was clear that we had made military intelligence a major effort, the United States Army, to investigate what happened to Hitler. And in the archives are transcripts of interviews we had with top Nazis and with their families, who basically said that Hitler escaped. I mean, some of them I think were pretty startling, that Eva Braun's family had been interviewed, and the parents of her husband, who was a guy named Hans Fagelin, who was a SS officer. His parents were still in Germany at the end of the war, and what the Fagelins told U.S. military intelligence is that they thought with certainty that that Hitler was alive, that they'd received word through special couriers that Eva Braun's clothes had been packed up and shipped to her, and that, in fact, they felt that they had confident information that the Fagelins, the parents of Eva Braun's husband, were in touch with Hitler. Now, all of this type of thing was, you know, in the archives, and it was startling information. There were also intelligence reports from Nazis in Germany telling the military intelligence that Hitler had escaped. And I found even in the FBI files that I put, so you could see it in the book, there's letters from J. Edgar Hoover to the embassy in Buenos Aires, the American embassy, and it seems that J. Edgar Hoover knew exactly where Hitler was. He's telling the FBI in Argentina that there's this Mrs. Eichhorn, who is a very respected member of the Argentinian German society. She and her husband were industrialists. They had left Germany in the 20s. They were frequent visitors back with Hitler. They were friends with Hitler. They financed Hitler early on. And Hitler even sent the Eichhorns the first Mercedes as a gift that was brought to South America. Well, the Eichhorns, what J. Edgar Hoover wrote to the FBI in Buenos Aires was that Mrs. Eichhorn had this spa in Mafalda, Argentina, which was up northwest of Buenos Aires, and that a bank account had been established for Hitler. Facilities had been made to bring Hitler to this hotel. That Hitler, if he had any difficulties, this was a safe retreat for him. So J. Edgar Hoover was telling the FBI in Buenos Aires the same thing that the Nazis yet in Germany were telling U.S. military army intelligence, and that was that Hitler had survived and he'd gotten to Argentina.
And yet, of course, all of this information has been suppressed all of these years.
I actually showed the documents because they're pretty shocking when you read these FBI memos and you read the military intelligence that was being collected, because it's quite clear that the U.S. military intelligence at first was on the track that Hitler escaped and that he was in Argentina. And I even came across Stars and Stripes, which I put in the book. You can see in my book, Hunting Hitler, I've got a picture of the Stars and Stripes article. It's a small clip. It was Dateline London, October 7, 1945. And it said, Ike believes Hitler lives. And the article read, there is, quote, reason to believe that Hitler may still be alive, according to a remark made by General Eisenhower to Dutch newspapermen. The general statement reversed his previous opinion that Hitler was dead. Now, that's General Eisenhower saying very clearly that he thought that Hitler was alive. That's the only time Eisenhower ever said that. But again, it shows the depth to which you have J. Edgar Hoover, you have U.S. military intelligence, the files exist, the clips exist. The American public haven't seen them or is not aware of this material. It's been in the archives, buried away since 1945.
And that's the beauty of this book, ladies and gentlemen, because you'll actually see the reproduction of these archives and these remarks. Testing it by J. Edgar Hoover, attesting the fact that Hitler lived, and yet this information has been consistently concealed from the American people until recently. So go right ahead, Jerry.
Well, I found also newspaper clippings from Argentina. The submarine, this U-530, surfaced in Mar del Plata, which is one of the ports in Argentina, in July 10th, 1945. And the submarine showed up and was one of two submarines that showed up in Mar del Plata. And there were in the archives, the U.S. Naval Attaché Military Intelligence Division, a document sent to Washington from Buenos Aires, marked confidential, saying German submarine surrenders to Argentine Navy. And in this U.S. Naval Military Intelligence document, our military intelligence says that the submarine had landed along the shore of Argentina and had released people by raft. The crew arrived in good condition, but it was a reduced crew. They felt some of the crew had gotten off. And it had been cited repeatedly by the Argentinian Navy. And the last sentence of this, the U.S. Naval Intelligence reported that Eva Braun and Adolf Hitler were landed in the south of Argentina by the submarine, that was the general belief in Argentina, and it was being validated by U.S. Naval Intelligence back to Washington. We actually... U.S. Naval Intelligence took the crew, brought them to Washington, destroyed the submarine off the coast of the United States. And I've got pictures of the crew, their fingerprints, their basically booking cards. And in the list of the articles the crew had with them, they had Argentinian cigarettes, they had pesos from Argentina money, they had German-Spanish dictionaries. Clearly, this crew had stopped in Argentina along the shore to pick up money and cigarettes from the Argentinians, and the raft of the submarine was gone, even though the raft compartment was there, was empty, filled with seawater, which again validated the reports of U.S. Naval Intelligence that the submarine had been stopping along the shore of Argentina to release passengers prior to surrendering in Mar del Plata.
And, of course, with the passengers, did anybody question the members of the crew? Did any of them identify Hitler as one of the passengers?
No, the crew was very thoroughly questioned, and they all had the same basic story. The ship U-530 showed up. It had no naval charts, had no logbook, and no record of where the ship had been. Supposedly, the commander of the boat was a German lieutenant named Vermuth, who was 25 years old, and the executive officer, a guy named Schuller, was 21 years old. Well, U.S. Naval Intelligence says that these probably were not the commander and the execs, but they were the ones who were left in charge of the boat when the more senior officers got off before the boat surrendered in Mar del Plata. It had a reduced crew, so clearly some of the crew got off. And the German Nazi sailors who surrendered all seemed to have a pretty good cover story. I mean, they were thoroughly debriefed by the Argentinian Navy and by the U.S. military intelligence, naval intelligence. And their story was very weak, a lot of holes in it. They got irritated when they were pressed too much. And the interrogation records indicate they stuck to their cover story of they had left Germany and sailed across to Argentina in order to surrender. But again, with no record of where the ship had been, no ship's log, no ship's maps, it's very difficult to know where the ship had been, and U.S. Naval Intelligence really thought that this was the transport mechanism to get Hitler and Eva Braun out of Germany, out of Europe, and into Argentina.
And, of course, the thing is that obviously people within our own intelligence agencies, within the naval intelligence, were tracking Hitler, certainly believed that Hitler had escaped. But this information had to, for whatever reason, be suppressed from the American people. So what do we know then that happened after that? Because there were a number of instances when Adolf Hitler, there were people who knew Adolf Hitler, who you contacted them or under contact with people who knew Hitler. Why don't you pick the story up from there? What happened after Hitler was landed there in Argentina?
Well, in fact, in Argentina, there have been recently two books written and a documentary talking about Hitler, people who claim to have known Hitler in Argentina, to have waited on him. Evidently, Hitler was brought first to this La Falda hotel, and with the icons it created for him. And then subsequent to that, there was a refuge built, a estancia resort, very remote area by Bariloche. It was on a lake, a very forested lake that you could only reach by seaplane. And the Hitler mansion, it looked Bavarian. It was a remote region of the Andes adjoining Chile. And that was evidently the resort that was built, still standing. There are pictures of it, in fact, on the internet. And I discussed it very thoroughly in Hunting Hitler, that this was the resort that is believed to have been the hideout of Hitler when he got to Argentina.
Very remote, almost impossible to get to.
Right.
And as I say, only can get in there by float plane. So basically,
there's
a great deal of evidence that Hitler then escaped South America, but this information has been thoroughly suppressed through channels here in the United States, and the most incredible thing is that most people have never even heard of this sort of thing, because if it's true, it means that most of what you believe in government is not true. We're able to point to reality.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Brush Housing Authority and Brush takes the time to remind us that respect and care for our senior citizens should always be a priority in our society. We owe much of today's success to those people who, through hard work and sacrifice, have given our generation all the things we enjoy. During our National Older Americans Month, let's remember our seniors and wish them well. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority, where ex-director Ed wishes all our seniors a great and safe 2014. Agri Enterprises Incorporated in Fort Collins reminds us, in our country's early history, families grew food for their own needs. Now, a few provide the food for all of us. With changes in agriculture, we must remember the debt we owe the American farmer. Without them, society would grind to a halt. Let's offer a salute and thanks to the American farmer. This message from Agri Enterprises Incorporated in Fort Collins. Always looking out for the safety of our community. For more information, call 970-221-2607.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Are we talking about Adolf Hitler's escape to South America? So basically, of course, he initially went to this hotel, and then later on, of course, he was transported out of this very, very remote area on the border between Chile and Argentina. So what else do we know? I know that this would be... Oh, Some people have actually had people go to South America and talk to people who knew or helped or cared for Adolf Hitler when he was there. Do you want to get into that at all?
Well, yes, I think the documentaries that have been done and the photographs and interviews of people who waited on Hitler, who worked for him, who knew him when he was in Argentina, they're all in Spanish, but they are, you can even search them on the internet and find them. But there are people who have testified that they knew Hitler in Argentina. Now, a couple other things I found in the archives, that the cover story was created by this Trevor Roper, who was a historian from Oxford, that was brought in to do the definitive story of Hitler's last days. And, of course, his book set the story of the suicide pact by Hitler. And when I looked at it, I found another document that was created very quickly after this Trevor Roper arrived in Germany by U.S. intelligence. In fact, I put the document in the book, where we gave the list of conclusions of the study of what this was by Edward Saxe, who was a major from chief of the operations section from U.S. military intelligence in Germany. And he wrote a memo called Circumstances Surrounding the Death of Hitler. It was written on October 9th, 1945, and given to Trevor Roper. And it's virtually the outline of Trevor Roper's book. So the idea that this double suicide pact was there. And by the way, the testimony of the eyewitnesses is completely contradictory. Some of the eyewitnesses having Hitler shoot himself, others have him taking cyanide, the same with Eva Braun. All the eyewitness testimony is completely contradictory. But the cover story was put together here by the U.S. military intelligence, and Trevor Roper never even interviewed the majority of the eyewitnesses to the Hitler bunker because they were in captivity in Russia. It wasn't given access, and even the few of the eyewitnesses that we had in captivity, the U.S. military, we only let Trevor Roper read their transcripts of their debriefings. So Trevor Roper really did not conduct a thorough investigation of his own. He just relied upon what military intelligence told him, and it was a cover story. This idea that Hitler was going to commit suicide, you know, here's Adolf Hitler who was killed, 50 million people, how many million people died in World War II? And suddenly he gets remorse, he doesn't want to be captured and put in a circus like Mussolini was strung up by the Italians after he was deposed. And so he commits suicide. Well, and marries Eva Braun and writes a will. Well, it's all kind of like a soap opera that was scripted for a middle-class mentality. A major psychopathic killer like Hitler isn't thinking to commit suicide. He's thinking to blame everybody else for his failure and to escape. And the Nazis had every resource and every ability to escape, and I think that's really the crux of the story, which we can get into now.
All right, well, you're saying basically he had the ability, and there were people there who wanted to help him escape. So what do we know for certain?
Well, I took seriously what Stalin told Jimmy Burns, and that was that Stalin believed Hitler escaped. Eisenhower believed he escaped. I found that the key person was Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles was the office, OSS. He was the early form of the CIA. And Alan Dulles spent World War II in Bern, Switzerland, which is was a neutral country during World War II. And Dulles, working for the U.S. early CIA, was in touch with the Nazis starting in 1943. Bormann, who was Hitler's secretary, one of the closest Nazis to Hitler, had concluded in 43 that the Germans might lose the war. And Bormann, who had helped Hitler amass his fortune and was the genius behind Hitler's financial empire from within, basically started working with Alan Dulles to move Nazi ill-gotten gain, some of it, stolen from the Jews who went to the concentration camps, the gold, taken from the Jews, taken from countries that the Nazis had conquered. And so between 1943 and 45, Bormann funded more than 200 German companies in Argentina, and he made investments, something like 1,000 companies, the vast majority of them in the United States, with investing through Swiss agents into the U.S. stock market, where the Nazis and the Germans owned major shares through the contrivance of Alan Dulles. As I researched Alan Dulles, I realized Alan Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles, who was Secretary of State under Eisenhower, Alan Dulles ultimately ran the CIA under Eisenhower, had been financing the Nazis before the war. They had been working with Brown Brothers Harriman, New York investment firm, the Harriman family. Again, Averell Harriman, a major U.S. diplomat all the way through John Kennedy, Kennedy's administration, the Harrimans, the Dulleses, and the Bush family, because Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush, was also part of the Brown Brothers Harriman firm, and they had been arranging, going back into the early 30s, U.S. investment going into Nazi Germany to finance the rise of Hitler and the building of the military state, which is another secret most Americans don't know anything about, but it's also fully documented.
And here, what we did is we created the best enemy money could buy. We created the best enemy money could buy. And the average American has no idea that we were financing Hitler before, during, and helping escape after the war. This is such a devastating story. Every American should hear it. It's being quite thoroughly suppressed. This is why I asked Dr. Corsi to come with us this morning and tell you this story, and I hope that you'll want to get copies of this or our 4-CD set on Did Hitler Escape? It's vitally important this information gets out so that we can begin to understand what's happening today, because history has a way of repeating itself. Go right ahead, Dr. Corsi.
Well, it was not just a few Nazis or the most prominent Nazis that Alan Dulles, John Foster Dulles helped escape. There were tens of thousands of the Nazis. Alan Dulles created Operation Paperclip, where we brought out at least 1,000 top scientists, engineers, technical people from Nazi Germany and brought them to the United States, including Wernher von Braun, who created the V-2 rocket, the Nazi terror weapon, first rocket carrying a missile, which the Nazis used to bomb London. And Wernher von Braun shows up in the United States completely escorted by Dulles, citizen, and running our space program.
Hold that thought, and so we're bringing the Nazis over to meet the American space program. We'll be back in just a moment to start this program.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Before we go on, Dr. Stacey, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your website where all of the books and other things and documentation that you have is available? How can they reach your website?
Well, the book itself, Hunting Hitler, is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and yeah, of course, you can order it in the bookstores. I'm a senior staff reporter for WND, WND.com, formerly WorldNet Daily. And the book is sold also in the WND Superstore, as well as, I think, Dr. Stan, you're carrying the book.
Yes, we carry it. We think it's a vitally important book, which every American should read. Because when you read it, you suddenly realize that most of what we think we know isn't true. So basically, then, first, the information is that certainly Hitler got to South America. And there have been actually people who've actually talked to people or met people or interviewed people who knew Hitler or helped Hitler when he was there?
Well, yes. In fact, a documentary that's just been done over the last 2 years in Argentina has interviews on film with many of the people who met Hitler, knew Hitler in Argentina. There are some photographs that exist of Hitler in Argentina. His appearance had been altered, but still recognizable. And the documentary evidence in Argentina. In Argentina, it's pretty much common knowledge or assumed that Hitler got to Argentina. In fact, the idea that Hitler committed suicide in the bunker in Argentina is considered to be naive. And there's been documentation in Argentina of Hitler having been taken to Spain. Even the flight that he went on, the pilot, has been identified. I discuss that in the book. But again, much of this information the American people don't know anything about, it, as well as the thousands of Nazis that Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles helped escape. I was talking about Operation Paperclip, where we brought over all these German Nazi scientists and technicians, put them to work in U.S. business, including Wernher von Braun. I mean, many of these were criminals. Wernher von Braun used Jewish slave labor to build the V-2 rocket. Well, that was all excused and lied about. That was part of his ran our space program, putting a man on the moon. He helped create the first intercontinental ballistic missiles carrying nuclear weapons for the United States, Wernher von Braun. And it goes on and on. I mean, we took the entire Nazi Gestapo Galen organization, an intelligence organization that the Nazis had used to spy on Russia, and Alan Dulles paid Galen millions of dollars and took his entire organization and hired them as part of the CIA and the West German Intelligence Service. And again, this is fully documented, but yet largely unknown to the American people.
And basically, of course, we actually carry Galen's book going into the background of this, and basically then we use the Nazi spy organization spying on the Russians. And we just absorb that so we can spy on the Russians. And the average individual doesn't understand how closely we worked with the Nazi intelligence agencies and with the Nazis following the war. That was a very, very distressing thing. And so there were basically hundreds of tens of thousands of Nazi war criminals, none of whom or almost none of whom were ever prosecuted for their crimes. And these are the people who had killed not only the 6 million Jews, but millions, well over 10 million Europeans as well. And we We never talk about that. This whole aspect of history has been totally deleted from the thought of the American people. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think that's exactly right. And I think you see that what you have with the Nazis getting out of Europe, Allen Dulles helped to create also this rat line with the cooperation of the Red Cross, where Nazis would get Red Cross papers, new identities. They would be able to get visas to go to Argentina, leaving Europe under these new identities. They would get funding. Catholic Church played a role in this rat line in terms of, you know, harboring and navigating these Nazi criminals into positions where they could get visas to leave Europe and go to Argentina. And thousands of Nazis got to Argentina. It was a very large German community in Argentina before the war. And the Perón government, which had been paid by Bormann, joint accounts, bank accounts had been created by Bormann and Perón for the benefit of Bormann and other Nazis, including, I believe, Hitler, with transferred money. That the Nazis were even running submarines with some of the stolen gold bullion and art from Europe into Argentina. And again, these submarines were allowed to pass during the war, starting 1943 and 1945. There were regular courier submarines going from Germany to Argentina, transferring loot and preparing for the end of the war. A lot of the Nazis knew that if they didn't win the war, they were going to need an escape route. And I think this whole idea of Bormann planning Hitler's escape was in the works as early as 1943.
And the fact that the average American had never heard this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. Parting thought, Dr. Corsi, we're just about out of time.
Well, I think that's the frightening part of the story, is that if Hitler did escape, and the documentary evidence is pretty compelling that he did not die. There's no physical evidence that Hitler died in the bunker. The evidence that exists is fraudulent, including the skull of Hitler, which turns out in Russia to have been that of a 40-year-old woman under DNA testing, is that Americans have been lied to. And Stalin alleged, and I think correctly, that we helped Hitler escape. That's what he told Secretary of State under President Truman in a private discussion that was recorded by Jimmy Burns, Secretary of State, in his autobiography. So there's ample evidence that this whole idea that Hitler and Eva Braun committed suicide is just a soap opera written up by some general in military intelligence saying that this is a convenient way to get rid of Hitler instead of telling the American people the truth.
We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us this morning. Dr. Corsi, and talk to you again real soon. God bless.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, the interview you heard this morning is one of the most important interviews ever done. We have this as part of our 4-CD set, Did Hitler Escape? It's a 4-CD set. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And the 4-CD set includes interviews with Dr. Corsi, Did Hitler Escape? We carry his book, Hunting Hitler. We carry a Gerard Williams book, certainly Grey Wolf. Gerard, his partner, went to South America, talked to the people there. Now, unfortunately, we don't speak Spanish, and the documentary that's circulating throughout South America is in Spanish. I wish it would get it in English. I doubt we'll be able to. You can be sure American intelligence agencies will do everything they can to conceal the truth about what really happened from the American people. But I'm firmly convinced Hitler escaped. He was evil. He was part of this whole brotherhood of darkness. And if you don't understand World War II, you don't understand Adolf Hitler, you don't understand what's really going on today or where America's headed, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And basically, Hitler was a Satanist. Hitler was responsible for the murder of tens of millions of people. But of course, he was working closely with Alan Dulles and with others. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the same sort of thing is happening today, a generation later, two generations later. These same organized evil forces are preparing us for World War III, for terrible, terrible times. We're facing a collapse of our monetary system, and with us, the impoverishment of the American people, chaos in our cities. This is not accidental. What you need to do is get organized in your own mind, understand we're involved in spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christian civilization has been largely destroyed because these people hate Christianity. They hate Christianity, and basically their goal is a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and that's why they're doing everything they can to spend us into oblivion and then to undermine Christianity, and that's why they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That is why today America is a post-Christian nation where everything is systematically being done to destroy the faith of the American people. And, of course, they use radio and television. They've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools without any justification at all. And where is the outcry from our churches as they change the music of our churches and the message of many of our churches? And it's deafening and it's silent. If you want to survive as a free person, in a free society, if you want Christianity to survive, if you want to try to at least preserve what we can after they destroy the economic foundation of this country, and they've already